Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's worship celebration.
Hey, beautiful. You just made my heart beat fast. It's so good to see you here. Hi. So many people who have been, hello, what's up, balcony? Happy King Day, everybody. It is a little bit of a holiday here at Middle Church. What we do when we celebrate the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who inspired my personal ministry and who also inspires our collective, Middle Church's collective quest to be beloved community. So we're glad you're here, beloved, because you are the ones we've been waiting for. We have a beautiful, incredible worship celebration planned for you today. And worship is a celebration here at Middle Church. The band is hot, as you can hear. The choir is amazing and gave up their choir seats so we could sit. So when they walk in, give them snaps and love. Some girl in a red dress got a couple words to say for a sermon. And afterwards, the inimitable, amazing Natalie Renee Perkins, Reverend Natalie Renee Perkins, who is my colleague and friend, she and I are going to do a sermon talk back at the end. We're going to put some womanism in the house and see what we have to say. So please stay for that, about a half hour of conversation. I would like to inspire you to stay and tell you when you do stay, your reward is some soul food after that. We're not serving the soul food until after the talk back, though. So let's be clear. Truth, you are being held hostage. If you want some chicken, you gotta stick around, okay? Somebody say amen. That's how it goes in the black church. You're trying to eat until you finish the thing. So there's lots of things to announce there in the bulletin, mostly. But let me remind you that we are celebrating a holiday in which we're called to service. So if you look on our website, you'll find things you can do. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock at the Irish Hunger Memorial downtown, I will be there with some beautiful activists, including you all in the room, tying together what's happening with the, I'm going to call it the war crime laden, genocide seeming hunger in Gaza, right? Did I give you enough caveats to join me in the place? They're hungry. So we're making a connection between previous times of hunger and this tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I hope you'll come be with me. Many of you will. Take a deep breath. That was lots of words. Think of God's incredible goodness to you. And let us continue to worship God in our opening hymn, Amazing Grace.
Thank you. Everyone, happy MLK Sunday. I'm gonna move this over here. Now listen, I don't know where the blanket is. So why don't you just come on in for the message for all ages and we're just gonna sit on the stairs like that's fine. It gives us more space, right? We can take up this whole area if we want to. Hi, I'm not gonna sit on you, but I don't wanna like stand over you. So will you scoot over a little bit for me so I can find some space? Oh my gosh, hi! What is this? Oh my gosh, I feel so like in community. There's so many people down here. Anybody know what Sunday this is? Oh, okay. Three Kings, this King Sunday. Mm-hmm. MLK Sunday, yeah? Martin Luther King Jr. Sunday, to be specific. Thank you very much. Anybody know who Martin Luther King Jr. is? Can give me like a quick little couple words. I'm gonna go this way, is that okay?
Martin Luther Jr. King was an activist. He was a civil rights activist and an activist for a lot of other things.
Yeah. Thank you. Anybody want to add to that? Yes?
He was a civil rights activist.
Civil rights activist. Mm-hmm.
Did you want to say anything?
He was a big part in the civil rights movement.
Yep. Civil rights movement. I'm coming.
He was a person who wanted equality between black people and white.
Yes, equality between black people and white people. Thank you for that. Yes, you have one more thing to add? Okay.
His birthday is tomorrow, and he was assassinated.
He was assassinated, and we celebrate, yeah, him on tomorrow. So you all feel very informed about MLK now, I hope? Great, okay. We were in our meeting this week, and my new colleague, Zane, who's sitting right there. Will you stand up, Zane, so everybody can see you? That's Zane! Who's our director of communications, shared with us a sermon that I feel like we don't hear a whole lot about. And it talks about an if versus a though faith. An if versus a though faith. I wonder which one we have here at Middle. So I'm going to try and explain what they are, and you tell me what you think, okay? So this one says, a lot of people bargain with God. If you just let me avoid pain, if you allow me to be happy, if you don't allow any suffering to come, if you don't allow frustrating moments to come, then I'll be all right. Then I'll give you a tenth of my income, and then I'll go to church, and then I will have faith in you. That is an if faith. Okay, got it? Here's the other one. All of our great experiences in life are not based on bargaining relationships. Think about friendship, think about love, think about marriage. Those aren't based on if, those are based on though. So which one do you think that we have at Middle? Is it if things go right, or is it even though? It's kind of tricky, isn't it?
Though?
We have though, yeah. A though faith. Let me give you some examples. Though things go wrong, though evil is temporarily triumphant, though sickness comes and the cross looms, nevertheless, I'm gonna believe anyway, and I'm gonna have faith anyway. Though, therefore, the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So we know, regardless of what is happening, God is with us. And that's the kind of faith that we work with here at Middle. And we're able to do that because we do that in community. So will you pray with me? And we'll see Yahamba our way back to our seats. Dear God,
dear God,
there we go. We thank you
for a though faith
that lets us know
that you are with us Even though.
Even though.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's see a humble our way back to our seats.
See a humble kukan yen kwenkos. See a humble kukan yen kwenkos. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. Light of God. We are marching.
Thank you.
my goodness. Wow. We had our new members class today, and one of the people said that art is what makes God visible. And I feel like that's what just happened here for us. So thank you, Dion. Thank you, Tammy. That's beautiful. And now if you will stand as you're able and pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray in whatever language you know, whatever version you know, and there's one printed in our bulletin here. Will you pray with me? Ever-loving and holy God, hallowed be your name. Your reign come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the reign, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Okay, three things before we do the piecing piece. Okay, one, some of you got an email, but I'm going to say it to all of you. We're going to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. On our way to James Baldwin Centennial, the Film Forum downtown is doing showing a series of his films. We're going to one tomorrow, 6:30. So if you want to go buy yourself a ticket and meet me there. I'll be there at 6:30. Okay? If you want to, like, find me, then you should probably download the Circle app and, like, DM me so that I know where you are, okay? I would love to see you. It would be really great to see some of you and have conversation. There are three different movies that we're going to on three different dates, and all of this information you can find on our website. That's one. Two, when you do this whole passing of the peace moment, please introduce yourself to and or greet Zane and also, is Ellen in the room somewhere? Ellen is also a new employee here at Middle that we'd love for you all to meet. So see if you can find these people and say hi and thank them for, you know, jumping on board. Welcome them in your radical welcome that you do. And also, there will be a microphone placed here for you to greet our online people, our congregation, and our visitors. Please, please, please come to that mic and say hi. It really does mean something for them to be greeted. If you've been on the other side, you're like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, and they said hi to me. So go and do that, right? And then the last thing is that, as you notice, we have a full house today, thanks be to God. If you will please, when you come back to your seats, just kind of scooch. Scooch in, you know, let's see if we can make sure that we are making as much space as we're able to make for everybody to have a seat, okay? May the peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Please greet your neighbors.
online, people.
Scurry back to your seats. Can you hear me? Come on, choir. Gotta get out. Hey, is it gonna put it?
Sure to pass. These trials, it's just a
planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Ooh, like a wind that's blowing all around me. I shall not be moved. These winds will, they will never, never last. Ooh, oh.
John, John, is Helen right there? Is Helen right there? Is Helen right there? Helen! She not right there? I don't know about you, but that whole thing just healed my soul. Helen! Woo, girl! Wow! Wow! Who you be? Come, because you're on the camera. Dion, band, choir, Helen. I was talking to John right before worship, and I said, I'm just so upset. I'm so upset. I don't want to hide that I'm upset. Do you know? I'm so upset about the world. Though, John, band, choir, Helen, Alfredo on the horn. It's just important. I'm going to be saying this again in the sermon. It's important for you to know how much God used you to be a balm in Gilead this morning. Amen. That's better than throwing the shoe at you. What a gift this community is to me and to the world. Thank you, Dion. You know, Dion knows she's got to keep playing right there. Thank you so much. The sermon today is called Let the River of Justice Run. I was thinking Carly Simon when I named the sermon. Do you know that when she wrote that song, she was thinking about the text in Revelation 21, 22. I've heard that she was taken by the idea of the, it's the Christian telling of a Jewish idea that there's these healing rivers, like the Kishon and the all these old names. So let a river runs through it is a piece of Revelation 21. There, and I saw a new city and a river. Like crystal running through it. Leaves on the trees for the healing of the nations, right? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? So when she sings, let the river run, she wrote a song about the end times being beautiful, is what it is. So I'm thinking about that when I named this sermon, Let the River of Justice Run. Thank you, Dion. I love you so much. 9 to 5, is that what that was? Yeah. Amos 5. 18 to 24 is the text. The Day of the Lord, a Dark Day, is the subtitle here. The text says, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? Is it darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear? Or went into a house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake? Stay with me. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, God says, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals? I will not look upon. Take me away from the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. I told you we'd get there. But let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The word of God for the people of God. Pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I pulled this piece of a text out of the middle of a text, so these contexts can be difficult to grasp. But if we're listening to this text, we get the sense that the community to whom Amos is speaking is fed up. They're looking for the day of the Lord to come. They're looking for the end times to come. They're thinking things are really tough, but when the end times come, there will be a reset, a start over, a refresh button, like when your power goes out and the computer's crazy town. They're thinking that they want the new beginning that they expect to come after an apocalypse. Are you with me? So I can only imagine. I mean, this is pre-exile. We don't know which one of these times in history for sure is the Jewish difficulty, but it is one such a time. And Amos is speaking to a fed-up people who think something is amiss. There's civil unrest. There's centuries-long tensions around belonging and nation-state. There's struggles about land and power underneath the surface of conversations about religion and chosenness. As was then, is now. You feel me? They were desperate. These are not new desperations for our Jewish family. These are not new questions of concern about being annihilated or destroyed or identity causing you to be crushed to the ground. These are not new concerns for any of the people in the Middle East. In this particular context, these guys are desperate and yearning. Yearning for the day of the Lord to come. The apocalypse, the end times, so the pain would stop, so the wars would cease, so Mother Earth would recover, so the guns would turn into plowshares, and they would study war no more. God, come. Won't you come? Won't you come now again soon? There's a Christian kind of apocalyptic working at hand in our politic right now. A kind of sense of stand back and watch and see. Let's see, because when the hell comes, the new day is coming. When it burns up, the new day is coming. When it goes to smithereens, the new thing is coming. There is a kind of wait and see apathy at work in Christian Zionism. Have you heard that expression? God is sovereign. All of these events are in God's hands. All of these things, paragraph 3, are by God's design. So therefore, just hang on. And when it is destroyed, we'll know God is coming back again. This is the kind of communication Amos is addressing in this text. What you think is going to happen isn't going to be light. What you think is going to happen is going to be darkness. What you think is going to happen is you're going to lean your hand on the wall and be like, whew, that was hard, but a snake is going to bite you, is the metaphor. Can you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. So what you think you want is for the pain to go away, and Amos is saying there's going to be a different kind of pain, as in we're always going to have trouble. But let's talk about apocalypse for just a second. Just a second. 1,140 dead. October 7. 132 hostages. For those people, for those families, the end has come. Are you with me? They are devastated and traumatized and angry and humiliated and frustrated and sad and grieving, a shiver that won't stop in the grief house. 132 hostages. 24,190 dead in Gaza. 9,600 of them children. For those people and for all the people in the global south, they are in trauma. They are devastated. That is the end time. Could it get any worse? Graves turned over by plows, hospitals bombed, schools bombed, churches bombed, people dead. Could it feel any more like the end of life as you know it than it is for these people? Are you with me? And for all of us who watch, no matter what our politics, no matter what we say out loud, no matter what we tweet or text, or we cannot without, we're human, we can't watch it and be okay. I'm not okay. Are you okay?
No.
I'm not okay. I'm not looking for the end times. My mama was alive, she'd be calling me every day right in here. Girl, is this the last day? Because look how crazy it is. That was mommy's favorite question. Are we there yet? God, I hope not. But that's just two places. Is anybody tracking the casualties in Ukraine? Is anybody tracking Sudan? 4,000 events of political violence, 13,000 dead in Sudan in the last few months. From November to now, 720 fatalities. We're not tracking. I can't track it all. Can you track it all? Your brain can't handle it. How about the 30-year war in the Congo? How about 6.3 million people, 6% of the population, fully displaced in the Congo? Who can track it all? I can't track it all. And let's come back home to our little neighborhood called the United States of America. When I say that, I want to put three K's in the K. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with our political leaders? What kind of discourse? Is it 92 individual indictments against Trump? I can't track the numbers. And we are imagining that that human being might be the... I'm sorry. Might be the nominee for the party. My dad was a Republican, so this is not an anti-Republican comment. It is a comment about what's our nation about. What are we about right now? Are you with me? What are we about? Who are we trying to be? The questions of identity and belonging and power and coalescing it to make the world we want, those are the existential questions plaguing the globe, and the answer, sadly, is a rising fascism that plays upon our fears. We want a big bad daddy to chase away the boogeyman and make us feel better. All the way across the globe, the same question: where is the power, the support systems? Who's in, who's out, who's being replaced, whose world is it? Who are we going to be as a global family? The question is not new. It's King Day. And he had some answers. First analysis: three threats against humankind. One being racism. The whole backdrop story of the United States of America is whites are better than everybody else. Our founding parents, fathers, didn't come here as Christians. They came mostly not as theists, but they came leaving their own oppression, seeking a land where they could be free, and they brought inside them the oppression that they had experienced, and then they oppressed the ones they found. Hurt people, oppress people, oppress people. Amen?
Amen.
So baked into the fabric of the nation is a white supremacist ideology that says land, whiteness, maleness, straightness, excuse me, now Christianness has all the power, is at the top of the caste, and everybody else is at the bottom. White people with black people down here, Jews somewhere in here. This is what Dr. King analyzed as the most catastrophic pillar of our society. And sadly, though Dr. King was killed in 1968, these last decades have not changed the race dynamic in America. Not nearly enough for it to make a difference. Black people make less money on the dollar than whites. There's a 21,000% wealth gap between black folks and white folks. Black women make less than any other female cohort in the nation. The fact is race matters. Race absolutely matters. And Dr. King then, and I'm saying now, if we don't look directly at racism as the cancer that is killing us, we are going to keep having the same conversation over and over again. Race and race matters are a plague on our nation. And when we, you know, when I was a young pet preacher here 20 years ago, talking about Black Lives Matter, people were calling my board chair, Vicky, then and saying, why is Jackie always talking about race? And somebody said, because she's black. That's actually not the reason I was always talking about race. I was talking about race because race is everything. Race is housing patterns. Race is healthcare. Race is school districts. Race is voting rights. Race is pay. Race is, race is environment. Race is water systems. Race is longevity. Race is cellular. We are built on the fault lines of race. And here at Middle Church, we understand that this is the most important work for us to do, because when we dismantle the race thing, we're dismantling all the other things, right? So what are we doing about that? We are having a conference April 26 to 28 called Freedom Rising, You Move the World. Freedom Rising, You Move the World, where we're going to take on race and racism straight on the head. And I am hoping, for goodness sake, that you won't let King D be a day that we mourn how bad race is, but in fact you sign up for the conference. Can you do that for my people? The second thing that King put on the table was materialism. He called it materialism, and I'm calling it, sorry, forgive me, capitalism. It's okay to snap and stay with me. I, you know, have on a Hugo Boss Macy's knockoff dress, okay? So I'm not a person who believes that we shouldn't be able to buy some goods and services. That's hypocritical to say. But I am saying what we call capitalism actually is a kind of hegemony in which white people, not white people like y'all, but white people. Nobody in this room, not anybody in this room, is the kind of white I'm talking about. Let me see. And if so, start giving me more money. No, I don't think so. The less than 1%, the people who drive everything, the ones who own everything, who dictate social media, who dictate pricing, who dictate global connections, that kind of white, is materialism gone crazy. It communicates to all of us in our feeds what it wants us to know, what it wants us to think about. I said the other day, I broke John's phone cord, and I said, John, oh my God, I don't know how I broke your phone cord, and Apple gave me phone cords to enjoy in my feed. The machine that is that kind of white is listening, watching, pulling strings, and I'm going to say pitting us against each other. Right? That kind of machine does not want us to be in solidarity with each other. That kind of machine wants us to say somehow Jewish people and Palestinian people can't both have a homeland. That kind of machine wants us to think if we're standing for Palestinians, we're anti-Semitic. That is a trope of whiteness that is a lie, but that is causing us to battle each other, right? It is disrupting the solidarity that we know we need and that we've curated. So what are we doing about that? Everything I'm complaining about, I'm trying to give us a solution, right? We have a program called Listen, Learn, and Lean into Peace. We're not catechizing you in these conversations, but we're trying to say, if you're thinking about whiteness as a trope, and we are, that has capitalistic tendencies and agendas, and it does, then come to these conversations and listen to other voices so you can hear what people really think. Not what you think. Not what you think they should think, but what people really think. Josh Stanton, Linda Sarsour, Christian Palestinians. Do you know that there are Christian Palestinians? There are Sikh and Buddhist Palestinians. We're trying to set a table so that we are not people only getting our news from MSNBC's perspective and Fox's perspective or the X or the Insta, but also just the news that comes because we're in relationship with other people and they tell us what they think. Are you guys with me? I'm talking fast, I'm feeling like we're long, and I want to try to get this all in. That's okay. Are you with me still? Right? Okay. So race, materialism, capitalism. Again, Jackie has a bank account. I have a house. I'm a little C capitalist, right, in that way. But I'm also absolutely believing that the Jesus who I follow wants us all to have enough. Socialism is Christian, so, you know, share their goods in common. You got some, I should have some. All God's children got a right to live and flourish and be okay. That's what I'm trying to say. And the white capitalist, again, not any of us are that rich, the white capitalist agenda wants us scrapping for scraps, wants us picking sides and teams, and wants us not flourishing as a human family. Are you with me? Okay. Third was militarism, right? And thank you, Laura. I read that. You know, many analyses now say Dr. King's assassination was more directly related to his stance against the Vietnam War than anything else. Because war, go back, war is about money. And war is about caste and race. War is about extracting from the land what you want. War is about a geopolitical look-see. I think I need those diamonds, thank you very much. War is about your political agenda, nation with an army, over someone else's. It's about them not having autonomy to manage themselves. War is business. And when he talked about the Vietnam War, Dr. King was saying, what's up with us bombing the smithereens out of poor brown people who don't really have anything? Well, they had something. The boundaries that shift and change because of war serve the other agenda I'm talking about, the white agenda, right? Which is the race agenda. Can you see how they're all connected together? The militarism that Dr. King decried then, he had not yet seen. And he saw Pettus Memorial Bridge. He saw lunch counters. He had not yet seen what policing has come to do. I feel like I'm stepping on many toes, and I'm sorry. My cousin Donald was a police captain when he retired. We need police. But we need reform in our policing, because the policing is connected to the militarization, which is connected to the capitalism, which is connected to the race thing. So if you have your police being trained in military tactics, I was in Paris, I like being in Paris, with John. We took a training, we went down to the cathedral thingy down there, and it was a beautiful train, that place. We had a beautiful time, beautiful young people on the train. I love young people, they were this cute little, they dressed like our American kiddos, whatever. They were just on the train, and a woman started walking through the train, like, I was like, what's happening, right? So these young people evidently had gotten on the train after done something wrong. And the people were watching them. They were not beating them down. They were not kicking their booty. They were just watching them, right? And so when we got to the next stop, the nice-looking young people, very nicely dressed, all got off the train and were subdued by police. Let me tell you how they were subdued by the police. Come with me. That was subduing.
Oh, my God.
They got them off the train gently. They did not kick their behinds. They did not beat them with batons. They did not shoot them with guns. They used their personalities and their bodies to get the children off the train, and they got them off the train. Policing doesn't have to mean a death sentence. You shouldn't make a phone call about mental health and your 11-year-old is shot. That is not what it should happen. Okay, there's music to do. We have all this music, you just need more time. What I'm trying to get us to hear today, and I had so many Dr. King quotes in my sermon, you'll get that in the version that goes out on the interwebs. Thank you, Substack. Because we gotta know there's more than I have a dream. There's more than I have a dream. I got some stuff for you to read, okay? With some quotes and some footnotes, okay? Yeah. So we can have a little King read-in, okay? Yeah. Your pastor, who's a Kingian nonviolent student, is saying to you, not enough has changed. The analyses of 1968, of 1955, are the analyses of 2024. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to keep learning about race because we're going to come to the conference. We are going to keep thinking about materialism because we're going to analyze how we spend our money and what we do with it. And we are going to think about militarization because we're not going to be afraid to speak up that we're watching some bad acting happen right now. We're going to continue to call for a ceasefire. We're going to continue to ask for peace. And we're going to work on police reform with our colleagues. Those are the things I think we're... That's where we're at. Is she finished? Well, she is, because the thing is playing. That wasn't really how I was trying to conclude, but okay. Are you with me?
Yes.
You got it?
Yes.
Right. It's time to play the thing. I wasn't quite finished, but okay. Come on, choir.
Titus Burgess. I'm a member of Middle Community Church under the brilliant guidance of Dr. Jack. So chances are, if you watch this, you know our church burned down. But the rumor has it, we might be back in that, you know what, next year. Not the sanctuary, but like the office parts. The sanctuary is going to take a little more of this. That's why we need your money. Okay? We need your money. Okay? If you need a place to donate in the fourth quarter for a tax write-off, guess what? Give us your money. Okay? You don't need us to hit you over the head with our social justice movement and how much we love the community and the world at large. With your help, we can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city. Not a city of strangers, but we can build a city.
Thank you.
God, bless these offerings, our gifts, so that they can multiply love on the earth. Bless each of us as a gift to multiply love on the earth. Give us analysis, power, plans, procedures, all the things to heal the world. Amen.
Amen.
And my benediction to you, online and here, is you are the ones we've been waiting for. These conversations are not about looking back at an assassinated leader. These conversations are about us living the dream, inspiring the dream, teaching our young people, doing the thing, being nonviolent in our actions. Even when you want to punch somebody because of what they wrote on social media. That is not really going to get us there. So that's our hope and prayer, that this King philosophy, join the King Center, read the books, read past the dream speech, and know what time it is. Okay, amen?
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.